Well, I want you guys to call me Lewis the Homunculus.
Lewis
from now
the
on,
Homunculus.
Okay?
All right,
today. I've got Fresca today.
Fresca! Woohoo!
But there's no caffeine, so I have to just opt for the sugar.
Really? No, Fresca doesn't have sugar either. Fresca is a diet.
I think it does.
No, it's a diet drink.
Why am I drinking it? If it doesn't have caffeine, it should at least
have
sugar.
I'll get a cup of tea.
It must be for the taste.
The amount of waffle we produce on the Happiness Patrol, it takes 3 days to edit it together.
Literal.
The hidden agenda of the Happiness Patrol is just to make Dale happy, so...
Welcome to the Mucus Patrol.
Hey, you guys heard that? I thought I'd turn down my volume.
Not quite enough.
No, we heard
Jesus
that.
Christ.
I'm prepared to bet Jesus heard it as well, yes.
Tell him, Leela.
I was not ready for that.
Okay.
You gotta tell me when you're gonna make me announce crap.
Okay, sorry.
I don't want to say Fraser High.
I know.
And you know I'll get it wrong if I say it. So.
Okay, you're okay. Okay.
You're listening to the Happiness Patrol.
Happiness Patrol, come in, come in. Happiness Patrol, patrollers, are you there?
What?
Hey!
What?
Hey, Tara, welcome, Tara. Leela, are you there?
Yep.
Oh, okay, so we got Tara, we got Leela, and what was the other one's name? Dale, are you there?
Negative.
Okay, hey, K-9, could you get Dale?
Affirmative.
Thank
Please
you.
Wait.
Thank you, K-9, we'll wait.
Don't get off that bloody microphone.
Hey, there you are, Dale. Hey, okay, gang. Today we got a very special guest today. We've got Matthew Dowell Smith. He's a comic book artist. He writes.
Yeah.
He draws. He draws the Doctor Who comic for IDW Comics, and he's going to be on now. Now let me see if I can work these controls to make sure I can get him in here. Hang on, guys. Leo, could you hit that side with the hammer, please?
Yep.
Hit it. Okay, I think this is working. Okay, Matt, are you there, Matt? Matt?
Yes.
Hey, Matt. Welcome to the Happiness Patrol.
Lewis, what are you doing on my computer? How did you get on my computer?
That's what happened. So Matt, we're so happy to have you here on the Happiness Patrol. You're our first comic book guest.
Actually. Oh,
should I say comic book or should I say what is the PC term for
graphic novel?
Graphic novel.
I get into arguments about this. disagree with me, if you will, but they're comic books.
They are comic books. I like the term comic book.
Yeah, and speaking, and who am I to say PC while I'm on the Happiness Patrol, right? let me introduce you to Leela. Leela, say hello to Matthew.
Hi, Matt.
Hi, Leela. Nice to meet you.
You too.
Leela comes from Lehigh, Utah, just outside of Salt Lake, and she's our new Who expert. I will go ahead and call her an expert now because she's come so far since we first started this thing. So.
Oh, well, thank you.
And speaking of experts, Dale, say hello to Matt.
No, I can't. I've wandered off. Hi, Matt. How you doing?
Good. Nice to meet you, Dale. How are you?
I'm all right, fella. How are you doing?
Not bad.
All right, now...
What a splendid name you have, young man.
Where is, yeah, isn't it great? We're talking to Matt Smith!
Yeah. Yeah, as I always joke, unfortunately, not the cool one.
Not the cool one.
Well, actually, because I'm a huge Supernatural fan, and you did the Supernatural Origins comics,
yeah.
You are the cool one, frankly.
Oh. Bless you. Yay, finally, I'm the cool one.
But anyway, Tara... Meet Matt. Matt, Tara. Tara, I believe you guys met at
we
Galley.
Did.
We did. Hi, Tara. Nice to see you again, sort of.
Oh, it's lovely to speak with you again. Did you ever get to speak to my husband about his end of the comic book industry?
No, I did not. What is his end of the comic?
Well, see, he owns a chain of comic book shops. In fact, he's in Austin, Texas right now at one of them, and then he's going up to Seattle to another one.
Oh,
so. Yeah, comic books been very, very good to me.
They've been rather good to me as well.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm so thrilled to have you on as a guest. I mean,
oh, thanks, Dara.
Matt, I want you to, if you don't mind, give us a little background information for people who are not familiar with your work.
I was born at a very early age.
Yeah, we got that bit.
oh, no, I like that.
The editing I'm going to have to do.
I've been drawing comics now for 16 or 17 years. Mm-hmm. It all blurs together, so I can't remember quite how long now. But I started out sort of in the early 90s, and as of last year, I've now drawn comics for every major American comic book company.
Woo! That's a good
DC, DC, Marvel, Dark Horse, mm-hmm. Top Cow, Image. CrossGen, which has since folded. I've drawn an awful lot of comic books.
Wow.
For an awful lot of people. So,
did you say there was a publishing house called Top Cow?
Yes.
Very big.
They do a book called Darkness and another book called Witchblade.
Wow. So you basically, you are a professional comic book artist. And you know what's amazing about that is that a lot of little boys they get out their paper and pencil after reading like a Superman or something and they try to draw their favorite comic book character, you know? And so I'm assuming you were like all these other little kids doing the exact same thing.
Yes. And try to imagine, if you will, a 6 or 7 year old boy trying to figure out how to draw Tom Baker's hair.
No.
It's not easy.
Now,
you
really,
can do it quite well if you're on the phone.
Now, if you're,
everyone can draw people's perms when they're on the phone.
So you were drawing Doctor Who at that age? are you joshing me there?
No, I really was. I was I was drawing big blue boxes that were all lopsided nowhere near as detailed as the real TARDIS.
Right.
I was drawing Doctor Who, and I was drawing the ship from Blake 7.
The Liberator.
The
Dear
Liberator.
God. Yeah.
Which
a pile of crap.
but see, I had seen Doctor Who, and I was reading magazines like Starlog.
Right.
I don't even know if they still make that.
I used to read Starlog all the time.
They used to always have pictures of all these British science fiction shows.
Uh-huh.
And I would look at them, and I would want to see them so badly that I could taste it. So Blake 7 was one of them. Survivors was another one. But I would see pictures of the Liberator, and I would just think it was the coolest looking ship. Now, granted, I'm like 8 at this point.
Right.
So I would draw it. The problem is that as I didn't know which way it was supposed to be moving through space. So I would actually be drawing the Liberator going the wrong way.
That brings me to another point, Matt. Did you go to college, art school, or anything like that? Any kind of background?
I went to college. I was a theater major.
Uh huh.
And then I decided that they were all pretentious, and so I became an art major because that was good thinking on my part.
Because God knows there's no pretentious artists out there.
No, of course not. Well, I had actually I had kind of given up on drawing and comic books in high school,
right?
Because I think most comic book guys, if you talk to them about their oh-so fascinating lives, like at a certain point they sort of decide, oh, you know, I'm too cool for comic books.
I'm going to become a serious artiste.
Exactly. Or
you started dating.
Or they start dating. or a lot of guys I know who kind of gave up on drawing comics in high school start to learn how to play musical instruments.
Ah, there you go.
Oh, there you go. So now Uncle Lou's back in it.
Yeah, but so in college, which I was in college in the late 80s, early 90s, that's when they started doing stuff like Sandman. And I couldn't not read those comics because they were so good.
Yeah.
And then suddenly I was back in the comics, and my original intention was not to be a comic book artist. My intention was to be a comic book writer. And, I was writing my own comics, in college, while I was a theater major. I was at a school in Ohio, and there weren't that many other people into comics around, and there wasn't really anyone who was that into drawing comics at my school. So, and I could kind of draw, so I would start drawing my own comics. And I kind of learned how to draw again from having to draw my comics. And I'm sure this is a fascinating story, but...
You know, being a teenage girl, Leela, you're not really into comic books, are you, or are you?
Well, if I had the chance to read them, I'd love to, but I don't, so...
I don't have time to read them either, so...
Yeah, but you do them, so you make them, so you get to read them as you go along.
Yes, that's true. That's very, very true. And actually, one of the I've probably told this story to Lewis before, but one of the fun things about working on the Who comic is I get to read them before everyone else. I'll be reading through the script and be going, oh cool, oh that's gonna be awesome. I do. My first reading of a script is not as how am I gonna draw all this? It's as a little fanboy going, yay.
Yeah, welcome to my life.
Yeah.
And then I guess there's a point where you just go, okay, now how do I set all, you know, how do I start this?
Yeah, that's the fun part of it. I read them as a fan first, and then I kind of have to sort through the technical aspects of how I'm possibly going to draw any of this stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Anyone who can draw Sam Dean and the Impala is going right in my book.
Yeah.
Actually, that car. Because I just had to do a fill an issue on the new miniseries for Supernatural.
And
my first question was, do I have to draw the car again?
Is it a bit of a pain?
It's really, I'm not good with cars. The horses and cars are two of my huge weak spots as an artist.
The bane of your artistic experience.
So they really are. The four horsemen of the apocalypse who actually drive cars would be a bit of a hassle.
Yeah, that would be a hassle. I think the only thing worse would probably be motorcycles, but I've never had to draw one of those. So Tony Lee has already threatened to do the horseback issue of Doctor Who, just to make my life a living hell. But
that's funny.
Funny. Cool. I'm glad you read those.
I love Supernatural, and I got hold of the comics. And I'm like, oh yes! And then Lewis said, oh, this gentleman's going on the Happiness Tour. Oh, fantastic!
Oh, good. Yay!
So we're ready to get geeky.
No, but we did. We revealed at our little IDW panel, we did reveal our big evil plan to we'll be ending the current ongoing series ends at issue 16, and then we'll be relaunching with a brand new number one.
Oh, wow.
With that will start off with the Matt Smith Doctor. So I've been busy like a bee trying to figure out how to draw this guy, which has been highly entertaining. So every little set shot or anything that shows up online, I have it on my computer now.
Right. Oh, I bet you
do. Desperately trying to figure out how to draw his head. So Luckily, I've got two David Tennant short stories to draw and a last four issues featuring the David Tennant Doctor to draw before I have to draw Matt Smith. Professionally.
Oh.
So I'm feeling relatively confident about my David Tennant, so not really confident, but relatively.
Well, your David Tennant looks fine. I think that's
I'm just looking at your David Tennant now, and he's actually very good indeed.
So, thank you. Well, I'm not the funny thing is I'm not a photorealistic likeness kind of artist. I kind of suggest what the actor looks like, and it's more about kind of getting the way the actor carries themselves as carry themselves as the characters or you know, kind of movements and stuff. So it's kind of I call them emotional likenesses, which is my pretentious term for I can't really draw photorealistic likenesses.
You do it. There's lots of dark and shade in your work, isn't there?
Yeah. In fact, I even toned it back a little bit for the Fugitive storyline that we did, and only used shadows on the Doctor's face sort of when it was emotionally appropriate. Because given left to my own devices, the entire page would be black. Highlights. And I would call it moody. But yeah, so I do. I use a lot of shadows. I was really influenced by guys like Mike Mignola, who I worked with on some Hellboy stories.
If I could think of one artist that you sort of, your style sort of reminds me of, it would be Frank Miller. So.
Well, I certainly will not complain at that comparison. Frank Miller is incredibly talented. The one I get mostly is Mike Mignola.
Yeah, I was going to bring up your work on Hellboy.
Yeah.
I love your Abe Sapien. Gorgeous work on Abe Sapien.
Thank you very much. There's a funny thing about comic book artists. We pretty much hate everything we do.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, as soon as you finish a page and send it to the editor, you're like, oh, yeah, that sucks.
I can do better. Give me a week.
I can do better next time. And it's actually a really good... It's a good attribute to have as an artist because you're always trying to be better.
Mm-hmm.
But usually by the time something sees print, I don't want to see it. They send me these copies and I put them in a box and I give some to my parents and my fiance Claire will give some to her mother. But the only stories that I still look at and not just outright cringe are one issue of Starman I did, number 42, and that Abe Sapien story I did with Mike. Oh. I just was really pleased with how it turned out. So,
cool. Was he especially good in directing your art, or I mean, did he have a lot of input into your pages? Or
no, that particular story is kind of funny because Mike called me up and said, well, I want to do this story where we bring Roger back, Roger the Homunculus, the catchiest character name ever.
Homunculus. Okay, from now on.
For you. I mean, Hellboy, at least one, you know, every issue, there's one phrase that you go, I want to work that into my daily.
Well, okay. I want you guys to call me Lewis the Homunculus from
now on. Okay?
Right, my favorite
phrase from any Mignola comic is from, oh geez, I can't even remember the story now, but there's a thing where Abe Sapien shouts, oh, look out, it's a monkey, and Hellboy shouts, it's got a gun!
Oh, come on, I mean, the whole issue of The Amazing Screw-On Head.
Oh, yeah. That's...
Every other page, it's like, oh my god, yeah, oh my god, I didn't do that.
But on the Abe Sapien story, Mike called me up and said, I want to do the story, we're going to bring back Roger, and he kind of talked about how he wanted it to happen. And then he was inking me on something else. He was inking me on another project we had done together, the name of which completely... Oh, Decapitator.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, don't ask. But Mike was working on that. And so I sat down and started doing layouts for this story that Mike and I had talked about. And I had... I used to, in those days, I used to go to the Denny's across the street from me. And I would sit,
Denny's.
I would sit at a table and I would kind of do all my little layouts, little miniature drawings of what the page is going to look like. And I had basically laid out this entire story just on this conversation that Mike and I had. And I sent it to Mike, and Mike kind of looked it over and was like, oh, okay, well, do you have any dialogue for this? So I'm like, oh, sure. So I sent him the dialogue, and Mike rewrote it. And but that was kind of that story, was the entire 8 pages or whatever it was just based on one phone conversation Mike and I had. And then he inked me on that. So I penciled it and he did the final line work. So it was kind of, it's weird seeing, because I already was drawing a lot like Mike at that point because I admired him so much. And then to have Mike draw essentially on top of my drawings.
Yeah.
Was really surreal.
Before we get back on topic with Doctor Who comics, etc., how do you actually commission art from a graphic artist, from a comic book artist? Do you just email them, say, this is what I want, how much to do it?
Yeah, kind of. I have a website, MatthewDowSmith.com, and there's a little contact thing there. And I get emails from people all the time asking me, you know, do I do commissions? How much would I charge? Things like that. The really fun ones are the ones who ask, you know, will you draw me a picture with every single Avengers character ever?
Yes.
In one big battle.
or draw a group shot with me in the middle.
Yeah, you know, that harkens back to the old D&D days, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So that's
I've already decided what I want. I want Sam and Dean outside the TARDIS.
I was going to say.
You know, Sam and Dean, I think if the TARDIS actually materialized in front of them, would probably wet themselves, I hate to say.
I think Dean would probably try and shoot it, actually. But
yeah, that's actually very, very
good.
There
you go. So now
I'm going to try and do some – I'm going to try and do as many conventions as I can this year, because one of the things that Tony and I have been talking about is when you're doing a comic book like this, you're kind of stuck with a limited audience. In that, really, the people who are going to buy this comic book are Doctor Who fans who are also into comics.
Right.
And what we want to be able to do is try and draw in some Doctor Who fans who aren't necessarily into comics.
Right.
And I think the only way we're really going to be able to do that is by doing
podcasts. You're going to have to go to comic book show. I mean, to conventions because, yeah.
Well, and I think the other thing that might be fun is to try and bring in comic book fans who aren't Doctor Who fans.
Right.
Which is fun because
thing for me is I'm not a comic book fan per se. I mean, I've read I used to read Superman ones when I was little all the time.
Sure.
But I'm a huge Who fan, but I'm not a huge Who comic fan. I don't buy the magazine. I don't buy Doctor Who Adventures, etc. Right. So I saw the series they did. Was it The Forgotten?
Yeah. Tony's series.
And I liked that because it was very clever, but it was very let's go back through the Doctor's history again, which I thought was a tad cliche, you know, but they all do it. Let's go back into, look, it's Tom Baker again. Let's draw his hair.
His hair.
So it'll be interesting for me. I mean, having now seen your work on Supernatural and seen a little of your Doctor Who work, it'll be interesting for me to actually pick up a series and say, okay, I want to read this because, A, I'm a Who fan, but it's in a new medium for me, so sure. See if I can get into that. So
Gail,
I think that'll work for me.
Try some Hellboy. Hellboy is so insane, and it's so brilliant.
I don't like Hellboy.
How about the Abe Sapien series that Matt did? You should have a look at that.
I like Supernatural and Doctor Who and Superman.
Anything that brings Dale to
comics. There's your problem.
Yeah,
Matthew.
There you go. See, there is a big problem. Dale's a very typical example of, like, you know, if he likes Doctor Who or if he likes Supernatural, if there's a comic that's drawn nicely.
Oh, and that's the problem, is finding a style that appeals to.
And there's a lot of stuff out there that I'm like, I will go to a comic book shop and look around and not know any of these titles at all. And I'll see something with a nice cover art that I'm thinking, oh, that's kind of cool. Let me check it out. And right. That cover
and
art.
Different artist on the inside.
Yeah. And that's always a little disappointing.
But that fan reaction really, you know, it really kind of shook me. So I said, oh, that's it. I'm not going to do any more TV show comic books. Literally, you know, while talking to that editor on Supernatural about what my next project should be, he said, well, you know, what would you like to do? And I said, you know, I really, you guys should pick up the Doctor Who license, because I really love Doctor Who. And he goes, oh, you know, actually, IDW just bought that. So I'm having a phone conversation with my editor from Wildstorm, typing an email to the head of IDW saying, I would do anything you want on Doctor Who for free. And keeping in mind that I had already sworn off doing any TV show comics. And got an email back during that same phone conversation with Wildstorm from IDW saying, well, we have an artist already for the first one, but, you know, let's talk because they like my stuff and we'd worked together before. And it took us a while to kind of get it all sorted out. In fact, it took us a couple of years. And eventually they just said, well, you know, why don't you do us a cover or something? So I did a cover. The BBC liked the cover, and very sweetly, and I swear I did not bribe anyone at the BBC to say this. The BBC said, oh, we really like this guy's style. It's too bad this is just a cover.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and so they called me up and said, you know, the BBC really likes this. Would you be interested in maybe drawing this one of the stories in our new ongoing? To which I squealed like a little girl who got a pony. Which is true, by the way. My editor can confirm this. I squealed on the phone. And so I got to they asked me, okay, well, the way we're gonna do the series is we're gonna have different art teams kind of come in and do each story arc. So we've got all these story arcs available. Do you want to do – we've got this one two-issue story, or we have this one four-issue story. And me not being stupid said, yes, I'll take the four-issue story, please.
Yeah.
And that turned out to be the Fugitive story arc that I think they just – it just came out in a little collected edition.
Now, yeah. Does Tony Lee write most of those, or –
Tony Lee writes all of them.
He writes all of them. Okay.
Tony Lee is the writer of the Doctor Who comic for IDW. So the nice thing about that was we did the story. I turned it in. And I was talking to my editor, and I basically said, you know, look, I'm just going to put this out there. Anytime you want me to come back and do another story, I will drop whatever I'm doing, and I will draw another Doctor Who story.
Very
so,
cool.
Fast forward to a few months ago, and he kind of calls me up, or he sends me an email saying, you know, are you going to be around today? I kind of want to talk to you about some stuff. And yes, of course. So he calls me up. He says, you know, I think I'd like to have you come back and do some stuff. And I was like, oh, great. I'm really excited. He's like, yeah, we'd like you to take over.
Really?
Fantastic.
Once again, cue the squealing.
I got a pony. I got a pony.
It was a phone conversation where I had to keep asking him. And again, Denton Tipton, who edits the Doctor Who books at IDW, can confirm this. I kept asking him in the conversation, are you offering me what I think you're offering me? You're offering me to do this book full time? So, and he kept saying yes. And actually, I officially start essentially the next year and a half tomorrow.
Yay! Wow, congratulations.
Thank you. I'm very excited. But yeah, so that's I have committed to Doctor Who comics for literally a year and a half.
Oh, that's great to have full-time work.
But until my phone call with him yesterday, when all the scripts have been approved,
uh-huh.
I still was wondering if it was all going to horribly fall apart somehow.
I'm thinking of TV format comics, like Doctor Who, Supernatural, etc., must be fairly restrictive in that format, because the Doctor can't go out of character. He literally cannot. You know, he can't pick up a gun and start shooting everybody left, right, and center. Well, It must be highly restrictive on what you can do artistically to say, you know, he's got to do this, but in a certain way, because, you know, it has to be Doctor-ish.
Right.
Well, one of the cool things, not to heap too much praise on Tony, because I don't want his head to explode.
like it hasn't already.
One of the really, I kind of feel pity for our editor, Tony. Tony and I are lifelong Doctor Who fans. I mean, I can't even begin to tell you the level of fanboy glee I felt when I heard Doctor Who was coming back. I literally was running around the house, jumping up and down. I didn't know who Russell was at that point. I didn't know his track record. I didn't know that it was going to be as good as it was. It was just Doctor Who was coming back. So Tony and I don't feel any restrictions at all, because we're telling the kinds of stories that we want to tell. We're telling Doctor Who stories.
Well, looks like by the old clock on the wall, that's all the time we got for today, kids. So thanks again for tuning in to the Happiness Patrol. A very special thanks to our amazing guest, Mr. Matthew Smith, the brand new artist for Doctor Who comics. And make sure you go check out his websites. Lila, why don't you tell them about Matt's websites?
You can find out more about Matt Smith at MatthewDowSmith.com, and you can follow him on MatthewDowSmith.blogspot.com, as well as Twitter at Twitter.com/MatthewDowSmith.
Hey, and don't forget to check him out also. The publishing company for that Doctor Who comic is IDW, and you want to check them out at www.idwpublishing.com. Doing my bit to plug the comic book industry and keep a roof over my head.
And we want to definitely congratulate again Matt for his wonderful work, and we're looking forward to seeing the rest of his work as he takes charge of the art on Doctor Who comics. The team of Matt Smith and Tony Lee on Doctor Who comics should make for it should be completely unstoppable. So anyway, on behalf of the Happiness Patrol, I'm Lewis B.
And I'm Tara W.
I'm Leela S.
And I'm Dodo Chaplet.
But anyway, yeah, you guys can follow us too at on our collective websites, and make sure you email us at the.happiness.patrol@gmail.com. And Leela, tell them where our blogspot is.
You can follow us on Blogspot at thehappinesspatrol.blogspot.com, as well as Twitter at twitter.com/thehpatrol.
All right, so we'll see you guys next week, when our very extra special guest will be none other than Jamie McCribbin himself, Mr. Fraser Hines. So stay tuned. We hope to see you guys next week, and have a good week. See ya.
Bye.
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 This is Leela S., and you've been listening to the Happiness Patrol.
Jesus, how did that Leonard, how did Sweet Home Alabama go again, you know?
Oh, crap. So, isn't Sweet Home Alabama D, C, and G?
I don't know. I really don't want to get into that. And this will be a part that I'll probably edit out.
There are very few things that I nerd out about as much as Doctor Who.
Nerd out.
You got the super secret sneak peek, didn't you?
Did I get the super sneak peek? I'm not sure. I was a little drunk at the time, so tell me, did I?
I believe you.
Don't tell Claire.
Yes, I won't tell Claire. I am a comic book artist. We essentially live off of coffee, cigarettes, and combos.